and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, Reading. It's Ted Leidy with Free Fire Radio in for Carl Bott. Carl's on special assignment today. As you know, he's got picked up by his black helicopter this morning. He's probably flying over some country with some spy. And actually, no, he's sick today. So, and nobody can replace Linda. Her chair is sitting here empty. Cried a little when I first got here. You guys didn't see it, but I hit it well. Nobody likes to see a 200-pounder cry. I'm here today with Haven Humane, Katrina Swain, and Candy Muse. It's the ladies' hour. First hour will be ladies' hour. And we have Rita with us. What kind of dog is Rita?
We have her as a pit mix. She definitely has a very, like, compact, stocky, very pitty-looking body. But she's black and white, and she's very cute. She's a good size, too, because she's very medium-sized and compact, so she's not a giant dog. She's not going to knock your kids over or anything like that.
She has got a lot of energy, though, and she's short-haired.
Yeah.
Right? Very short-haired. Speaking of short-haired, she probably deals with the heat a little bit better than other dogs, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Nathan.
Morning.
Is it going to be hot today, brother?
Oh, it is. Definitely going to be hot. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Today, widespread haze before 4, actually, but sunny and hot near 109. North wind, 5 to 10 miles an hour, becoming light in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 21 miles an hour. Tonight, of course, it's going to get down to about 72. Saturday, sunny and hot again, high near 99, though. Calm, becoming south around 5 to 7. Saturday night, once again, low around 68. Nice cool nights. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 93. Sunday night, cloudy, low around 69. Monday, sunny with a high near 94. And Monday night, partly cloudy with a low around 65.
Who can feel the fall in the air? It is, I mean, I can't even tell you what it does for my attitude. Oh, I think Rita likes it too.
I think so, too. She's ready for cooler temps.
So, when we start talking about Rita, you know, there was a lot. I went down and we tried to talk about it without being emotional, but we got Carl, our dog from Haven, you know, many, many years ago, back in 7 or 8 or something. And he's since passed. But the breeds that you get down there at Haven, dogs that are... of Rita's breed. Now, what'd you call that breed again?
Pit.
Yeah, Pit. Okay. I thought there was a more complicated name for them than that. But yeah, there seems like there's a lot of them down there. Do they people not adopt them as much?
They're definitely harder to find homes for because there definitely actually are a lot of people who really love pits.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, with housing, it's very complicated because a lot of times people who rent are not allowed to have pits where they live. And actually, a lot of homeowners actually can't have pits either because a lot of homeowners insurance doesn't cover pits. There's actually a few different breeds that we have a hard time finding placement for because of that, which is very interesting. So we do usually have a higher number of pits than the other breeds that we have.
So it's a technical thing then.
Yeah.
It's a technical thing. Rita seems friendly and nice, and a lot of pits that I've ran into in my life have seemed friendly and nice. On the other hand, you know, they get kind of a bad rap in the news.
Oh, definitely. But they're honestly really nice dogs. A lot of our best-trained dogs that we have are pits. I feel like they're a very good family dog because they are pretty easy to train, and they're very friendly. So they're really good
Rita
for a lot
is
of people.
Incredibly friendly. I mean, she is just, she loves people.
She does.
I mean, I can tell that. So if somebody wanted to adopt Rita today, okay, and what we're going to do here in just a minute is take a picture of her. We'll post it. What would the process be for that? I remember what it was like to adopt Carl. It wasn't complicated, but there were some steps. So let's just say you woke up this morning and you wanted to go take a look at this really awesome black and white, muscly really cool dog that licks your legs a lot and loves people. What exactly would that look like if they headed down to Haven?
So right now we are doing all of our adoptions by appointment. So I would definitely recommend giving us a call at 530-241-1653. But since Rita is Pet of the Week, if you wanted to come down today, no appointment necessary if you wanted to meet with her. And then you'd be able to spend some time one-on-one with her. If you have any dogs in your home, we'd have you bring them so that way they could meet. And she does get along really well with dogs her size and bigger. So I think she would do great in a home with some other dogs. And then if all was well and you felt like it was a good fit, then we would do the paperwork and everything, and then you'd take her home. So, yeah.
And all dogs are spayed or neutered, right, when they leave?
That's right.
Perfect, yeah. Yep, my problem is cats. My wife has three cats, you know, and those cats honestly have more standing than I do in the house, which is okay. I'm fine with that. I've never been a guy who has to be the, you know, number one. And so every time I talk about getting a new dog, it's the cats. You got to get along with the cats.
Yeah. Definitely understandable.
Yeah, Carl ignored the cats. It was almost like the cats were invisible to him, which was fine. You know, that was good. I mean, on occasion he'd growl at one if they start playing with one of his toys or whatever, but, you know, it worked out really well. So, okay, cool. So, when you spend time with them, you guys have like a room where you spend time with them, right? Like a little playroom?
We have two visiting rooms, so that way you can hang out with them for as long as you'd like to see if they're going to be a good fit for you.
That's very, very cool. And how long have you been with Haven?
I've been there almost a year and a half.
Okay, and enjoyable, obviously.
Yeah, it's a great place to work.
Are you a pet person?
I would say so.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to be, huh?
Yeah.
If you didn't like dogs or cats, I guess you wouldn't go there. You guys take any other animals besides dogs and cats?
Actually, yes, we do take a lot of, like, small animals. So sometimes we'll have, like, bunnies or rats. I know we do have a rat right now. And then sometimes we do get livestock as well.
You get livestock? Where do you put it?
Yeah. We actually, on our property out back, we have like a pig pen for pigs, because we actually do have a pig. We have a couple horse pens, and then we have a couple little like pens for like goats and stuff. And we also have an area for chickens.
I like the heck out of that.
Yeah.
I guess do you guys do field trips to Haven? Do school kids go to Haven and learn about animals and what happens with them and all that?
That'd
sometimes,
be great. Yeah.
That'd be real educational, right, for a kid?
Yeah, definitely sometimes.
Plus because you're a no-kill shelter, right?
We're on our way to be a no-kill shelter.
Okay. All right. I guess maybe we should wait until you become a 100% no-kill shelter to start bringing the kids in there, because, you know, that would be one of their questions. And then I think it would distract him after a while.
Usually the younger kids that come do a field trip, so we haven't had too many issues there.
They don't start thinking about what's going on tomorrow or the next day?
No.
Good. That's good. I guess if you keep them around kindergarten age, they don't think about it, do they? They start getting around second, third, fourth grade, they start looking at the future.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. So, Rita. Man, I feel like Rita wants her own interview.
Yeah, she does.
She loves you. Maybe you should adopt her.
I have a few too many cats for Rita.
Oh, you do, yeah. How many cats do you have?
I have two, but we think she would do best in a home without small animals.
Yeah, she seems like it.
Yeah.
Because she seems like she'd like to chase things.
She definitely loves to chase. She's only 2 years old, so she's definitely young and has that youthful energy. She just kind of wants to go, go, go all the time.
Yeah, and Carl loved the ball. Oh, man, the ball. He loved to chase the ball. It was nuts. Yeah, they absolutely, boy, they sure are a joy. They sure are a joy to have in your life.
Definitely.
Now, so you do this every Friday, right?
Yes, I do.
And so where do you go next?
I go to a few other places.
Yeah, then you just go from one to the next, to the next, to the next with Rita?
Yeah.
You have to pick that animal carefully, right?
Yeah, definitely. but honestly, I haven't had really any issues with anyone I've brought. I always take them out beforehand. Like Rita, we spent a lot of time outside. We went on a really long walk. We played for a while to get some of her energy out a little bit, and she's doing really good.
Yeah, when I do the show on Fridays, I'm always worried they're going to bring a little chihuahua in that I can name Cheeto and take home. So I'm glad Rita doesn't do well with cats. It's not a decision I can make. My wife would stab me in the leg with a rusty butter knife if I took Rita home. But a little tiny chihuahua that those cats could, you know, kind of bow up on if he or she got out of line. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh, we Cheeto. Definitely do get them sometimes.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I've been in there. I totally dig it. And the problem is every time we have you on the show, if I'm in here, I want to go as soon as I'm done and look at animals, you know, because I do miss. Dogs truly are a man's best friend.
Definitely. No, come down. Definitely come see who we have.
Yep, definitely. Now, is there any seasons at all? I mean, is it seasonal? You get more dogs in and cats in or at a certain time of year?
Not really, I'd say. I mean, I know for cats it's very seasonal, but for dogs, I mean, not. It's kind of consistent year-round.
Just on a regular basis, right?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
You know, if you listen to the media, it's all the bunnies come in after Easter, you know, because people get them for Easter and then they don't know what to do with them.
That's actually very true. We always end up with a few bunnies after Easter.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy.
Bunnies are cool, man. Hey, you guys have any snakes or have you taken any snakes in?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, that needs to be a news story. You call Channel 7 if you take in a huge boa or they find a huge boa in someone's backyard. That would be worth listening to, and it would be a nice reprieve from the fire news, you know, because we're burning up again, as everybody knows.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. Katrina, I want to thank you for coming down. Rita, I would thank you, too. Let's take a picture and let's show everybody what Rita looks like. I think we may be able to get her adopted today because she is a very cool dog.
She is.
Yep. All right, we'll be right back.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
This Sunday, Lake Redding Park will be smoking as those crazy yellow-shirted asphalt cowboys fire up the barbecues for their annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue Fundraiser. Partake of the finest fire-grilled tri-tipper chicken, salad, cowboy beans, garlic bread, and a beverage. Eat it there, use the convenient drive-thru. Place a bid at the annual live auction between 1 and 3 p.m. Tickets are $12 at the event or pre-purchase for $10 from any Asphalt Cowboy. Pay Mart's at Remington Anderson or Lulu's restaurant on Pine Street at Cypress Avenue. Lulu's serves great food and drinks at affordable prices 7 days a week. Soup, salad, sandwiches, steak, seafood, and Italian dishes. Everything is made fresh daily at Lulu's. And you can order prime rib any time of the day, plus the very best Bloody Mary in town. Catering and banquet facilities are also available with customized menus to fit your budget. Join us this Sunday at Lake Redding Park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue.
BNT Satellite has you covered with a 2-year TV price guarantee from Dish. Great TV service, stable price, no surprises.
Don't call the 800 number.
Call 530-241-3474 or visit BNT Satellite, your local premier Dish retailer today.
Monthly equipment fees and other restrictions apply. Recording hours vary. 2,000 hours based on SD programming. Remote viewing requires internet connection and compatible mobile device.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve a growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It is Friday. Nice bump music, Nathan. Appreciate that as always. The Cure, one of my favorite bands. You like The Cure, Candy?
Probably a little bit before my time.
Oh, did you hear that? Before her time?
Ouch.
I know, yeah. Yeah, I was just posting a nice picture of us, too. Now I might have to mark it up some. All right, I'm here this morning with Candy Muse, National Wild Turkey Federation Queen. You are kind of the queen of the NWTF now. Secretary in Reading, right? The Reading chapter? Treasurer in the Reading chapter. That's even better money.
Yeah,
I like
money,
that.
Money.
Yeah. And then in Red Bluff, you are the president.
Yes.
You're the boss.
Yes.
All right. You like bossing people around down there?
No.
Hey, so you've got a banquet this weekend.
I do.
Tomorrow night.
Yes.
And you got hundreds of people going.
Correct.
And all the cast of volunteers is there that I kind of miss because I haven't done one in a while, but I'm going to get back into it this year.
Good.
I've had a lot of, business stuff going on this year, so I'm frazzled. My wife says I'm getting crabby, because you know, I do have a lot going on. But where is that banquet? What does it look like? What kind of great auction items do you have? And what am I missing out on if I don't buy a ticket from you right now and go?
Okay, so the banquet this year will be held at the Red Bluff Community Center out there on Jackson Street. We have Rock and Peace Barbecue will be out there for our dinner that night, and we'll have quite a few firearms. Luckily, the key item on our live auction comes with a box of ammo, so that's always a plus. And
it comes with a box of ammo?
It does.
It's happening?
It is.
I love it.
And then, of course, we'll have live silent auctions, general raffles, along with games, and probably about 20 firearms with the ratio of people that are coming.
And what caliber is that ammo?
That's a very good question.
I'm interested. No, actually, I might be buying a ticket right now.
I believe that the firearm that we do have for our key item is a 6.5. Is that a PCR?
PRC.
PRC.
Yeah, good
that
for
is,
you.
So that box will come with that.
As a side note, for everyone that's listening, I was at Sportsman's Warehouse yesterday, and they have 6.5 PRC Barnes Vortex ammunition in.
Oh, good.
Which is something that you don't see a lot.
That's good.
So, Rich Armis, if you're listening, my good buddy, I know you shoot a 6.5 PRC, and I think it was your weight, but you can go on and look. So your key auction item is a 6.5 PRC, and you guys are going to do that via bottle auction, or how are you going to do it?
It is. It's a via bottle auction.
You know what? I hope, and I think you're really good at this, or Tony can help you, actually. Tony's her awesome husband that I hunt with all the time. I hope that you guys pick good booze. That's the thing.
That's funny. Actually, one of our committee members for both Reading and Red Bluff has donated all the key items for that, and it's a wild turkey.
Oh.
So you will get two bottles of this wild turkey of different.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to the auction, it's two bottles at a time.
Yeah.
Somebody's thinking there.
Yep.
Somebody is thinking. Thank you. Thank you for whoever did that. You don't want to tell who it is, do you?
It's Roger.
Oh, Roger. I love Roger. Good for you, Roger. Thank you very much. Yeah, so two bottles of Wild Turkey for the auction items, and you'll have six of them, probably.
There's 10 total, and one will be with the game, one of the games that you can win that with. There is a card cut for the other, and then the other eight will be on the live auction.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a ton. Very cool. So 6-5 PRC, auction items, Wild Turkey, I don't remember. Yeah, I try to stay off the Wild Turkey nowadays. I don't know if you're at that conference with me in Nashville.
No, but don't forget there's another one coming up.
Another conference?
50 years.
Oh.
Yeah, it is the 50th year, so that celebration will be in February.
In Nashville, of course. And are you going?
I am.
Tempted for sure. You know why? Because it's one of the things I never have to talk my wife into. Sometimes I got to talk my wife into stuff, you know.
You're like, you want to go to Nashville? Let's go.
Oh, she loves Nashville. So, you know, and I see your point. I mean, you know, she's a lady. I did have to make that clear. Yes, she is a lady. And it takes a while to get ready. I feel sorry for them sometimes, right? I'm starting to have compassion.
Yes.
When I was a kid, I never did. Now I'm like, I can get up, have these shorts on. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I bet I woke up this morning at 6:40 to be on the radio at 7. And I mean on the radio, like sitting here doing my business, right?
Well, I got up at 4.
I know. Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
Wait, like a.m. this morning?
Yes.
Ouch.
Yeah, she's a non-sleeper. She's one of the non-sleeper types. Her husband's the same way.
I've already been to work.
Yeah.
What time do you go to bed?
About 11.
I know. Isn't that weird? If I got up at 4 after going to bed from 11, I would be crabby.
Yeah, don't talk to me in the morning.
I'd be like, don't talk, man. Mm-mm.
The worst thing is I don't drink caffeine.
Oh. Man, I'm starting to get depressed. Let's change the subject. All right. As I have my nice cup of coffee here in my NFI mug. Nashville. Yeah, so I think I never have to talk my wife into that, so that may be something I want to do in the spring, is go to Nashville, as long as it doesn't encroach on my turkey hunting.
You know, it's before turkey season starts.
It is, but last year, you know, I started turkey season real early. I started on February 20th, actually, but the Nashville conference is the week before that, so that wouldn't be bad. All the turkey people in the land go to Nashville once a year in February to get everybody up to snuff, and they stay at the, you guys still stay at the Gaylord?
We do.
Upperland. Beautiful, beautiful property. Great concerts. Lots of wild turkey. I had quite a time there. Well, more than once, actually, but one time was really bad. Lots of vendors, nationwide vendors. Lots of mossy oak.
Yes.
The only camo on the planet, as far as I'm concerned. And that's cool. So tell me this. Tomorrow, how do people get a ticket?
They can either call me. They can show up at the door because we will have tickets available at the door.
Mm-hmm.
So those are pretty much the only way. You can go online to the National Wild Turkey event page and then just look it up for Rebluff, and it'll give you all the information also.
Very cool. Or can they call you or text you?
They can't call me.
What's your number?
530-526-8350.
Or you can call me, Ted, at 530-999-1822, and I'll get a message to her, and we'll get you some tickets there. You know, really a fun, fun time. You got a lot of events for the kids? You know, in Reading, we always have events for the kids.
Yes. All the funds that we do raise goes for this wonderful program that, you know, is put on every year for the children, for first-time turkey hunters to go out and learn all the fundamentals, and they get to go out with a leader and a parent to private property and get to kill their first bird, and, you know, they learn all about the outdoors and have a great time, and they have events for them, too. So, I mean, we raise all that money just to keep the children entertained and educated about the outdoors.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I'm familiar with that program, and it is one of probably the best hunting programs for youth that, you know, I've ever seen, maybe in the universe.
Oh, now yeah, that I'm thinking about it's ran by a great crew.
Yeah, including you, the queen of NWTF. On that note, I promise, I'm looking you in the eyeball right now, I will have the application for the National Wild Turkey Federation Youth Spring Turkey Hunt for 2023 up on our website this weekend. I promise.
Oh, you're this starting weekend. It early?
Yeah, I'm going to put up the application and then get the guides together, and we're going to be doing it early. Same time frame next year, obviously. But I just want to give folks a little bit more time.
Okay. And what was the age for that again?
12 to 15 years old. Never have harvested a wild turkey. They can have hunted, but they can never have harvested a wild turkey. And that way, we take them in, we teach them, you know, hunter's ed, and get them in the woods and listen to a turkey gobble and show them what a turkey track looks like and how they come out of the roost in the morning and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I know that sometimes I'm a little negligent in getting that application up right on time, and I have no problem with that. Full disclosure, you know, sometimes I do stuff like that. I procrastinate, but I promise this weekend I'm going to do it. All right, Candy Muse, National Wild Turkey Federation, Chapter President, Red Bluff, California. Banquet tomorrow night, Rockin' Pea Barbecue. My good buddy, Mr. Simmons, who I just saw yesterday, will be doing the barbecue down there. And I think I will end up there. So thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back. Free Fire Radio. It's Friday.
I woke up in Nashville, but it still felt like a dream, like the one I've been chasing since the day I first played my test extreme.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, Pasta, and More, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy Mambo Pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
I love Chris Stapleton, man. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Lighty in for Carl Bott this morning. Good morning, Redding. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be in the air conditioning. It's going to be, what'd you say, Nathan, 109 today?
Yeah, something like that.
Dang.
It's going to be 111, so I'm a little okay.
What'd you say about 111?
It was supposed to be 111 yesterday. Now it's just 109.
I feel better. I feel better about that. 2 degrees is 2 degrees. You know, I mean, it's better than going 2 degrees in the opposite direction.
That's true. Right. That is very true.
I am here this morning with Emily and Morgan Booth. They are also known as the ladies of NFI regionally. They have a pretty loyal following. They are both gun instructors here in our area. Emily runs all the ladies programs. Emily and Morgan are the ladies programs for NFI, both NRA credentialed instructors and California Department of Justice credentialed instructor. Now, congratulations. I'm clapping.
Thank you.
I'm clapping quietly. I don't want to jack up the microphones. That's a lot of work, isn't it?
It is.
Becoming a California Department of Justice instructor.
Yes, it is a lot of work.
Yeah, but it opens up a lot of doors also.
Yes.
You know, for those in the who are not in the firearms world, the California Department of Justice credentials instructors to obviously teach firearms throughout the state and to be in many counties, Sacramento, Yolo, San Joaquin, a lot of the counties, you have to have a credential to teach there, CCW. So, all right. Well, we got a caller on the line. Nathan, Nick is on the line. Nick, good morning.
Good morning. I've got a couple gun questions, and I thought you're just the guy to ask.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you trusted me with that, Nick. What are they?
Well, I've got a CCW, and yesterday I was snorkeling on the upper Sacramento River, and when I got out, I didn't have any place to put my gun because I was all wet coming home, you know. I was sitting on a towel, and I didn't want to put my gun in my pocket and have it get saturated with water. So I put it in a towel and I stuck it between the two seats with me sitting in the open. Am I legal doing that? It's not on my possession. How about if I put it on a towel and set it on the dashboard?
So not the dashboard. Our former sheriff, Tom Basenko, has a famous story that he used to tell his classes when he would come in about how he did have to take a CCW from somebody because they constantly wanted to carry that pistol on the dashboard, right?
But it's in the open, I would assume. How about if it's covered in a towel? You've got it folded over a towel.
Well, let's
kind of like LaVoy Finnegan, you know, up there. He always packed a gun on his dashboard, folded in a blanket. I just thought I'd...
He did. Oregon rules are different. But so let me get some context here. So you got out of the Sacramento River. And I'm thinking public ground, right?
Yep.
And you had a gun. You have a CCW. You put it in a towel, and then you put it between the seats in your vehicle.
And I drove home.
Completely legal. No problem.
Good.
As long as that gun is on your CCW, permitted, it's completely legal. You can do that. That's good. That's better than the dashboard. I would consider the dashboard kind of questionable. But
okay, so if it's pretty close in your proximity and it's concealed...
Yeah, yeah. Nick, you do not have to have it on your person in your vehicle. It doesn't have to be on your body.
I understand that. Yeah. I prefer it to be because
of course.
I know where it's at then.
So yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the preferred location always is on your person. But if it's in your vehicle, in your, you know, between the seats, in a towel or whatever, it's good, you know.
Okay, I've got another question. Mm-hmm. I remember a few years ago you were talking about your experience up at Whiskey Town, and you had your gun strapped on your side, and a Forester pulled you over, a Whiskey Town Ranger.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you that was illegal, and you explained to him that it was legal, and he got on the radio and found it out it was, and let you go. I'm wondering if that's still the case with all the gun laws changing the way they do.
So between now and then, and by the way, you're a loyal listener, because that was about 2010, I'm thinking. So that was 10, 12 years ago. There have been no major changes between now and then. Of course, you know that in response to the Bruin case, the California legislature tried to pass an insidious bill, SB 918. It did not pass at the last minute, so we have some reprieve from that. But, the thing about it is, park rangers, highway patrolmen, whatever, it doesn't matter. That book that they have to learn and know is so thick, there's no way they can know all of it. You know, California Penal Code, whatever it is, fishing game code, whatever. So, you know, sometimes the attitude test is very important, right? Pass the attitude test first with all law enforcement, and then you know, try to find the solution to things. So he thought that I couldn't have a gun in the Whiskeytown National Recreation Area, or the Shasta Trinity National Recreation Area, which Whiskeytown is part of. But it you can have a gun. It is completely legal. You cannot hunt in a developed area, such as Brandy Creek Beach, the West Camp, you know, other places like that. And as far as that goes, inside of any federal building facility, that means visitor center.
And the courthouse?
Well, I'm talking about Whiskeytown specifically, because we were talking about Whiskeytown, yeah. So in Whiskeytown, any federal building. So any building that's in Whiskeytown, you really can't carry a fireman.
Well, I was just curious about, you know, out in the boontoolies, four-wheel driving, walking up a creek or something. It's okay to have a pistol strapped to your side out in the open.
Oh, sure, yeah. If you can, here's a rule. And I tell people this, and everything is general in the gun world, right? Because everything has specific loopholes and exceptions. But generally speaking, if you can hunt in that area with a pistol, you can carry it. How else can you hunt? You know, if it's legal to hunt, you can carry it for whatever.
Is it legal to hunt with pistols?
Sure, yeah. You can hunt deer or whatever you want with a pistol.
I wasn't aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a big demographic in the hunting world is people who just hunt with pistols.
Even on private property like SPI or Beatty Forestry or anything like that, you're still okay?
Well, now, I don't want to speak for SPI or Beatty, because here's what happens, Nick. They change what goes on their property seasonally.
Yes.
Right? So I don't want to. They make private people who hold private property make their own rules, right? For instance, and I'm just going to change the environment here a tiny bit for you. Costco makes its own rules. Safeway makes its own rules. Starbucks makes its own rules. Everybody makes its own rules, makes their own rules. So I don't really know what the today, here, and now SPI's rules are as far as firearms on their property, because it is fire season, right?
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I've known that if they let you hunt on their property, and they normally do when it's not fire season any longer, then, yes, you can carry a firearm there.
Because, okay, so yeah. I own 2 acres,
mm-hmm.
and I am surrounded by the city of Redding. I'm
mm-hmm.
county, though.
Yeah, okay.
And my back acre and a half, I got a few fruit trees, and it's just more or less a field. Can I walk around out there open carry?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ted.
It's your property.
Just real clear about that.
I wouldn't be discharging a firearm there, though, between me and you and fence post.
Unless you had to.
Well, of course, yeah, but, you know, no target shooting or anything like that. I'm sure that would upset the neighbors.
They're already upset with me anyway. They're all a bunch of liberals.
Oh, I can't believe that. Not in Redding. You got a bunch of liberals in Redding. You must have an enclave.
Oh, gosh. Let me tell you a little story. My property almost butts up to Hartnell, and there's a piece of Redding property between me and Hartnell, and this gal moved in and built her a little tent wiki up there,
mm-hmm.
and she started screaming and yelling one Saturday night about midnight, using profanity, cussing out an imaginary person. I'm assuming it's an imaginary person, and she went on till noon the next day. She did this 4 days in a row. So about 2 weeks later, I saw one of my liberal neighbors, and I said, did you hear that gal over there screaming and yelling? And I've asked them all that. They all give me the same answer. Oh, the poor gal, she's mentally ill, and we need some help. There's no facilities for her. So I told them, I said, I went over and I talked to her. And she seems educated, and she held a very lucid conversation. So I asked her why she was screaming. And she told me at midnight she gets the same reoccurring dream that she voted for Joe Biden. I couldn't get a smile out of none of them.
All right, Nick.
Have a great day.
You too, buddy. All right. So we'll end Nick's phone call with a good joke, which that was a good joke. You know, Nick's told me that joke before. I was sitting there thinking, Nick has told me this joke before. All right. Free Fire Radio this morning. We're with Emily and Morgan Booth. After this break, we'll come back and we'll start talking about your gun instructor journey and what it's meant to you. I know you guys have been doing a great job. But we are going to take a break. We come right back. Free Fire Radio, Friday morning. Everyone's happy.
Dak Prescott here. Why do I choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because better sleep elevates my game. Only my Sleep Number 360 smart bed helps me fall asleep faster, keeps me cool, and effortlessly adjusts for my best sleep. The result? 28 minutes more restful sleep a night. That's more focus, more edge, and more highlights. And that means more wins for all of us.
Don't miss the final days of the biggest sale of the year. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL.
This Sunday, Lake Redding Park will be smoking as those crazy yellow-shirted asphalt cowboys fire up the barbecues for their annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue Fundraiser. Partake of the finest fire-grilled tri-tip or chicken, salad, cowboy beans, garlic bread, and a beverage. Eat it there. Use the convenient drive-thru. Place a bid at the annual live auction between 1 and 3 p.m. Tickets are $12 at the event or pre-purchase for $10 from any Asphalt Cowboy. Paid Mart's at Redding and Anderson, or Lulu's restaurant on Pine Street at Cypress Avenue. Lulu's serves great food and drinks at affordable prices 7 days a week. Soup, salad, sandwiches, steak, seafood, and Italian dishes. Everything is made fresh daily at Lulu's. And you can order prime rib any time of the day, plus the very best Bloody Mary in town. Catering and banquet facilities are also available with customized menus to fit your budget. Join us this Sunday at Lake Redding Park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hey KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
Out of many shells over the back of an old bird dog. Back the burglar down when Grandma took the safety off. Grandma. that he's gone.
Good morning, Reading Free Fire Radio. Ted Lighty in for Carl Vaught. Nobody can replace Miss Linda, so let's just be honest here. Talking about firearms and firearms training this morning, I know, surprise, surprise, I'm like a one-trick pony. I try to stay off of it, though, when I have guests that are not firearms people, but my guests this morning are the ladies of NFI, Emily and Morgan Booth. Emily is a longtime resident and the mother of Morgan, who is newly 18 years old, and we were just talking about getting her to register to vote. And I know she's going to register and vote in the November elections. Very important that you vote, and you vote your entire life. Don't miss a year.
Yeah.
Okay, very important.
Real quick, there was a caller on the line that couldn't wait past the break, but he wanted to know real quick, is it still okay to carry during archery season?
So, also, a complicated question, but not too. You can carry a firearm during archery season, but the last time I looked, and somebody can Google this for me really quickly, you couldn't carry during deer season archery. Okay?
That's accurate. I know the answer to that.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. We used to teach a lot of hunter's ed before the pandemic, and so we were always telling our students you could not carry during deer season, but you can carry during any type of any other archery season, and of course you can carry during the general season, because as we talked about with Nick, you can hunt deer with a pistol.
Yeah.
Center fire pistol, of course. No rim fire. That's 22 or 17 HMR. So yes, you can hunt, you can carry during archery season, but not during the archery deer season. You have to wait for that season to come and go before you begin carrying again. Now, if there's been a change to that law, and there might have been, you know, it's hunting. I'm a CCW instructor. Please call in and let us know. Or if you have something, if you happen to be a game warden listening to us this morning and you want to chime in, I think that would be fantastic to hear from the top about that law. But last time I looked, you could not carry during archery deer season. All right, this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. B&T Satellite's Redding's Dish premier local retailer, providing our area with the best value, service, and technology in TV. For over 30 years with Dish, you get TV's only two-year price guarantee. Called 241-3474 to see why Dish is America's simple, reliable home entertainment solution. And I happen to know the guys down at B&T Satellite are veterans also, so I like to pick them out as my live read. So, okay. So, Emily and Morgan Booth, good morning.
Good morning.
Morgan, you said you're tired. Why?
So, I work at Sun Oaks full-time, and we just did a small group training promotion, and we had our event last night. So, I didn't leave Sun Oaks probably about till 10 o'clock, and I was there bright and early, 5 a.m. this morning.
Wow. Good. Builds character.
Oh, that's a word for it.
Builds character.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Hit the ground running every day.
Yes.
You know, it's how you keep up with your peers that are hitting the ground running every day.
There's not a whole lot of my peers hitting the ground running every day.
Well, she's 18, in case you guys couldn't tell. Oh, I know that, yeah. It's kind of a story amongst us, isn't it? But there are some that really hit the ground running every day.
Some.
I mean, think about all the people that joined the service when they got out of high school. All those,
yeah.
Army, Marine, Air Force, Coasties, Navy, you know, all of them folks, they hit the ground running every day. You just don't see them every day here. What we see every day here walking by the studio is different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they hit the ground every day, but you're running. No running. So, you guys have been teaching firearms here in our region. Oh, by the way, I got a great review on you guys yesterday.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna paraphrase it. It said, best ever, only wished I would have went to them first.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, did you guys conspire to make that review?
No, we didn't.
I'm glad if you did.
No, we didn't. She's an actual student, and she came to a renewal, and she was just amazed by the instruction that we gave her, and just raved and raved and raved. And she's also a student in Morgan's Aqua class, and she tells all the ladies, and you know, I just wish I would have came to them first for my initial. I learned so much, and this was one of her, you know, past renewals. She's had her CCW for a while. So, yeah, she was very, very happy with the instruction.
It, as well, everybody is when I hear people coming out of your class. But she she, you know, the first thing I thought, right, was I hope I didn't teach her the first time. I hope she's not talking about me. It's okay. I don't care. You can say it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better. I'm thinking, what? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Can hardly wait to get in front of those ladies of NFI so I can ask them. That was a really nice reveal. She really raved about you guys. So you guys have some, you must have a secret going on, some secret sauce there in your classes. What's your secret to being so good at this?
Secret sauce. You got to connect with your students.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it. Because even if your class is absolute crap, if you make them laugh and you make them feel good, they're going to walk out of there happy. I mean, obviously our classes are not that. But we give good instruction. We stay on schedule. We answer questions without degrading or like, oh, that was a stupid question.
Right.
That's a big part of it, is a lot of the people come in there and they're like, okay, sorry for all these stupid questions. And we're like, no, there's not a stupid question.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There is none. Well, because, you know, they're firearms.
Yeah.
If you don't ask the question, somebody could get hurt or killed possibly.
Absolutely.
So let's ask the question.
I was just talking to Taylor Strickland, actually, mm-hmm. and I was telling her we were both exhausted by Tuesday of this week. And she was like, yeah, this job you can come to exhausted and you can do a good job, but you can't go out to the range and not be on it because people's lives get put at risk at point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a good, you know, the connection is so important. Like you said, and I don't think that's a word where Nathan has to hit the button. Nathan, is crap a word where you got to hit the button?
I think we're good.
Okay. It is true. If you can have a really, really, I don't want to say crap, but mediocre curriculum, right?
Yeah.
And but if you connect and you're there for them and they know you're there for them and you don't phone it in and they can tell you're going the extra mile to make sure, even though the curriculum isn't great because, you know, people teach all different kinds of curriculum. If you're connected with them, they think it's a good class.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's
yeah.
very good. Of course, we don't worry about that with ladies of NFI because I know your curriculum very well. I know you guys teach that defensive marksmanship curriculum, which is just fantastic.
Yeah.
But the connection is so important.
It is.
You know, and I can tell when you've connected. You know, and you can tell when you've connected, right?
Right, absolutely. And I think that, you know, even if somebody's struggling to qualify or just, you know, really nervous with their firearm, we take that extra time, even if it means we have to stay after class. And they really appreciate that because they're like, oh, yeah, I was just so nervous. And I just, you know, when all the people left, it was better. And I really appreciate the one-on-one instruction. And they just love that. So, you know, that's why we get the good reviews. And that's why they say, oh, yeah, we want to come back.
Absolutely. If there was one thing I could tell a new gun instructor, two things. Number one, you mentioned them both. Be on time. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, I'm not going to say I've never been late after a class, but if I show up and I tell myself we're going to be on time, we're going to be on time. And I find myself not going down these rabbit holes and talking about little stupid laws and, you know, what you heard and, oh, what'd your neighbor say? Oh, well, he said he's going to take down that fence. I'm like, oh, that's horrible, right? And we're having these conversations when I shouldn't be talking like that, but I'm a visitor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm a visitor by trade, so I like to visit with people. And so very, very important that you stay on time because, you know, they got their nephew's birthday at Chuck E. Cheese going on and they got all kinds of stuff going on in their life. They don't need to be late.
Right. They expect to be out of there at 5 o'clock. You're letting them go at 5:30. They're like, well, I can't make it to the birthday party now.
Yeah. Loser.
Yeah.
We're losers. Yeah. And if I want to stay on time, I'll be right on time.
Yeah.
If I forget and start visiting along, it'll be 5:15 before I'm done because we have certain things in accordance with state law we must cover.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the Shasta County Sheriff has our curriculum. He expects us to cover it just like we submitted it to him for approval, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you spend time visiting or not connecting or talking about yourself, which, you know, happens quite a bit, not NFI, that's instructoritis, but in other places for sure where you sit around and talk about, there I was, ankle deep in expended brass and hand grenade pull pins. Nobody knows anything about how dangerous it was in the, you know, streets of Reading. I was a security guard, right? I got that. Anyway, I want to thank you both for coming in today. How can they reach you to join one of your awesome ladies' classes?
They can call or text. My number is 530-524-3517. Morgan's number is 530-356-1888. Or they can go to our website.
USGunPro.com. Free Fire Radio, Friday morning with Emily and Morgan Booth. We'll be right back.
Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. An outpouring of grief and love overflows for the late Queen Elizabeth as the people of Britain pay tribute to the UK's longest reigning monarch, who died yesterday at the age of 96 and who had spent a remarkable 70 years on the throne. The BBC's Johnny Diamond following developments in London.
Across the country, in churches and cathedrals, bells rang out at midday to mark and mourn the passing of the sovereign. Great streams of people flow towards Buckingham Palace, some holding flowers, some to see the scene, all to mark the moment and pay their respects. King Charles has made his first appearance since his mother's death, briefly greeting dignitaries at Aberdeen Airport before boarding a plane to London.
And as he arrived at Buckingham Palace, the King stepped out of his official vehicle to greet the crowds. Prime Minister Liz Truss speaking at a special session of Parliament held to pay tribute to the Queen.
Her late Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, was one of the greatest leaders the world has ever known. Yeah. She was the rock on which modern Britain was built.
And now Britain waits to hear from the new sovereign, King Charles III, expected to address his nation and the world before the day is out. As the southern border crisis continues to worsen, Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is taking action. He plans to start busing illegal aliens who arrive in Florida north to Delaware. Two Cobb County, Georgia sheriff's deputies have died in the line of duty. They were shot and killed while serving a warrant in suburban Atlanta last evening. Two suspects in custody. The ambush occurred in the Marietta area. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 358 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is a problem, markets are volatile, and the risk of running out of money in retirement is real. That's why I love annuities, and you should too. Your financial advisor doesn't want you to know that with our annuity strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year, and when the stock market goes down, your annuity won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and you should only invest if you learn the facts. And that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to use safe, low-fee annuities to build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
The future of European energy supplies discussed at a meeting of EU government ministers.
Summer is pretty much over in most of Europe, and as temperatures cool and winter approaches, people are bracing themselves for an unprecedented rise in their gas and electricity bills, and this presents a headache for those who govern them. Some countries favour putting a cap on the amount paid to Russia for its gas. Others want to tax any excess profits made by power generators and use the money to subsidize household bills. Achieving consensus at today's European Union meeting won't be easy, nor will implementing whatever measures are decided on.
The BBC's Paul Moss. More heated rhetoric coming out of North Korea, where dictator Kim Jong-un insists that he will never give up his nuclear weapons. He says they're needed in order to deter U.S. aggression, claims that Washington is out to topple his regime. News and analysis at townhall.com. Another shooting in a community still reeling from a massacre at a local school.
Four suspects are in custody after two people were shot in Uvalde, Texas, Thursday. Police say the incident at Uvalde Memorial Park was believed to be gang-related. Texas Governor Greg Abbott released a statement saying gang violence has no place in Texas. Abbott says he's sending six additional state trooper units to Uvalde to coordinate with anti-gang efforts with city authorities. The small Texas city was the site of a deadly shooting in May that left 21 people dead. Students in Uvalde returned to school this week. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
Quoting former Trump advisor Steve Bannon, it's all nonsense. He's pleaded not guilty to charges of misusing funds donated for construction of a border wall. The former presidential aide appeared in court in New York yesterday to answer state charges. Federal case was dropped when Mr. Trump granted Bannon a pardon. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, Reading. Ted Leidy in for Carl Bott this morning. And we are going to start our second hour with a market wrap from Susan. Susan, good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Good morning, everyone. Well, stocks are rallying this morning, on pace to break a three-week losing streak. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 344 points at 32,119. The S&P 500 is positive 53 points at 4,059, and the NASDAQ Composite is gaining 222 points at 12,084. Active stocks this morning, NEO up $1.55 at $19.23 per share, AMD up $184 at $84.61, Apple positive $2.06, trading at $156.51. For stocks, retail stocks of interest, Costco up $4.62, trading at $5.33.50, Walmart up 68 cents at $137.11, and Target up $1.45, trading at $173.35. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 3.29%. Four commodities close at $5 an ounce at $1,718. Silver is $18 an ounce, and crude oil is priced at $85 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President, Investments, Stifel, Nicholas & Company, member SIPC and NYSE for KCNR.
Right on. Thank you, Susan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. This session, this portion of the show is brought to you by Mike Huber and Estate Granite. Mike at Estate Granite has been custom altering homes in Shasta County and beyond since 2004. 16 years in the same location off Caterpillar Road. He does fantastic, granite and, granite work and tile. And he did our bathroom remodel and our outdoor kitchen, and we cannot be more happy with it. Mike works by appointment only, so call to set up a consultation today, 241-STONE, again, 241-STONE, or you can go to estategranite.com. I have with me this morning my good friends Patrick and Jill Gorman. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted.
Good morning.
We've been friends for a long time now, a few years at least.
Oh, yeah.
Been involved in some of the same volunteer work in town and this and that, so it's just great to see. When Patrick said, oh, or when Carl said, oh, guest is Pat and Jill Gorman. I'm like, oh, that's going to be fantastic. Good. Yeah. All my shows are just my friends anyway. I don't know if people notice that or not.
Yeah, Ted's probably the most popular guy in town.
Yeah, no.
I think you're like the third person we met after our realtor and probably the person who installed our cable.
Yeah,
it was Ted.
Is that Ted? Yeah. Right on. Yeah. Good. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad. And you opened your own law firm. How long have you been open now?
A little bit over a year. We just celebrated our 1-year anniversary.
Fantastic. Yeah. And and your type of law is called?
Workers' compensation.
Workers' compensation. Perfect. And that's so important.
Yeah, it is.
And you've been in this business for a while, the workers' comp business.
Since 2008.
And we were talking that you mostly represented employers and insurance companies before. Now you're on the employee side.
Yes, yeah. I one thing about switching over is you just put more roots down in the community. You start
absolutely.
To know. I mean, we have, you know, well over 100 clients, and we'll continue. And at some point in time, we might know as many people as you at some point in time. Maybe. But it's great, and it's very rewarding. It's more rewarding than working for insurance companies, just because the impact on an individual's life in a workers' compensation injury versus an insurance company's life. I mean, day and night, right? It's just business for an insurance company.
Clinical.
But it's life-changing for an injured
company. Oh, sure. They're not paying their bills.
Yeah.
So you're their lifeline.
So you get to be
I love it.
Constructive and and assist and watch this person pivot and take something tragic and really turn it around and wind up sometimes better off, not physically, but in their career, in their own happiness. Sometimes they wind up better off than before the injury. Sometimes the injury happens when they're already, you know, on their way down into a bottom, and they're stuck in a job they don't like or that's rough on their body. And over the course of their injury, you know, it's hard and it's destructive to them emotionally, but sometimes they can turn that around and pivot to a new career that they've always dreamed of doing.
And I'll bet in your particular station, you learn a lot about human nature.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And,
you know, I mean, a lot about human nature in that moment, huh?
And everybody, well, yeah. I mean, people, when tragedy happens, right? I mean, you know, mm-hmm. you're a command sergeant.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, you know, when things go awry, that's, you know, somebody can be a certain way and they can turn on a dime. And that's when you really start to see, people's personalities
right.
and how they're going to react to certain situations. And then trying to navigate that in itself is just a puzzle. I mean, it's a puzzle in itself. How do I communicate something? How do I communicate bad news to this person? I mean, lawyers are supposed to give people bad news.
Yeah.
And doing that in a way that's constructive is difficult sometimes. And so trying to understand the emotional cues and the social cues from people and navigating that is fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been in court before. Right, we've all been in court before, one way or another, and the humanness that comes out, both good and bad, in court, will shock and amaze you.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, it will just shock you. It doesn't happen normally on the street, but when you get in court, stuff happens, and you're like, "What?"
Well, it does. Yeah. It turns into almost like a, not quite life and death, but closer to that than you'll get without actually having bullets flying around.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, it's everything to people. They become so financially invested, the case consumes them.
Right. And, well, because it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
It costs a lot of money.
Or the outcome is custody of your children or mm-hmm. who gets the house, things like that, right?
Right.
And people, yeah, I mean, people definitely fight dirty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a brutal business.
Yeah.
It's a brutal business. And you're here with your lovely wife, Jill.
Hi.
Jill, good morning.
Good morning.
And you're his boss. You're the boss at the office.
I make all the rules and tell him what to do.
Mm, you complain about him leaving empty coffee cups around and all that stuff, yeah. My wife complains about two things. I need hearing aids, so she complains.
I do.
Oh, you need hearing aids? Yeah.
Yeah, I've been told.
So, you know, everything is what? And everything has to be real loud with me because I can't hear. That drives her nuts because she's a real quiet person. And, you know, my piles of dirty clothes.
Oh, yes, the piles.
Well, yeah, the piles,
I trained them pretty well early on. I put a trash can in every room of the house, and there are no clothes on the floor because that's gross.
It took about 13 years.
But. It took 13
Oh, mine
years.
Aren't on the floor. They're on the back of a recliner.
Oh.
In my,
they're not dirty.
No, they're not dirty yet.
okay.
You know,
yeah.
I'm trying to save everybody some work here, people.
Yeah.
I pick them up and smell them.
Yeah.
If they look, if they smell okay, I'll put them back on.
Through. Yeah, absolutely. It's fine.
Whenever he leaves something somewhere, I pick it up and put it in the laundry hamper, and then he's like, "What? Where does that shirt go?"
It's still got a day or two on it.
I was planning to wear that today. I had it laying out. It's clean.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're like, it's not clean. It's been 2 days.
Yeah.
It's still clean. Trust me.
I wore it for 35 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that.
I guess we all do that.
So where is your new office? I don't know if I've ever seen
it. So we just moved to a new location in Palo Cedro. So we're still doing renovations, so it's kind of a disaster. But it's to the right of True Value in the Holiday Shopping Center.
Oh, okay.
In the back corner there. It used to be a gold exchange and an ophthalmologist's office. We're combining the two. So once we're done doing what we need to do in there, we'll set up an open house. I'm hoping it'll be in time for the Christmas parade and festival mm-hmm. that they have. That would be amazing, and just open it up and have the community be able to walk through and see that we're there.
That will be a really nice event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a great event. Yeah, so you think you'll have it done by Christmas?
I hope. It's hard. You know, getting a good contractor is hard enough in Shasta County, but when you find one, they don't have immediate openings.
Oh, no.
You're waiting mm-mm. months because everybody knows they're a good contractor. And
once your name gets out there, you know, there's 1,000 not good contractors.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I've learned that lesson. You know, I've learned that lesson myself because, you know, you want to get it done now.
Yeah. The first guy that shows up may not be the one you want.
You never know.
You never know.
I hope. You never know. Life is funny that way. But, yeah, normally it's months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
we
months.
We had someone out, I think, in June to give us an estimate, and they are not starting until October
mm-hmm.
for the house. But the office, I'm just hoping before Christmas. That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait to get all your work done so you can come on here and give them a glowing review, whoever it is.
Yes. We will.
Yeah.
We expect to give them a good review.
Yeah. I'd love to do that with businesses in town that deliver like they're supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, we had, and I know Carl has paid advertising, so every time I do it, I feel a little bit bad. But, you know, I'm a non-paid spokesperson here, so whatever. I could say what I want, right? I love Carl, and so I try to be careful. But Jefferson State Builders did our remodel.
Okay.
And they were good. Well, they were really good.
Finding somebody online, you know, people out of the area even, they pay for bumps on Google and stuff. So it's not necessarily going to be the best company the first five numbers that come up. It's so difficult to weed through it. So word of mouth is huge.
Word of mouth in that line is everything.
Yeah.
Word of mouth is everything in that line. I mean, because, well, for all the reasons we discussed. You know, there's a lot of them. They're all busy. You know, everyone's got work.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Yeah. But, yeah, word of mouth is... You know what my pet peeve is about contractors? Let me tell you this right. Two things. I hope you're listening, every contractor out there. Number one, you want to differentiate yourself. You want to set yourself apart. Pick up your trash and your litter when you leave. Yeah. Don't leave it laying all over my project, because then I got to pick it up. Why? No one's paying me to pick it up.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not talking about sawdust. I'm talking about Carl's Jr. bags and, you know, things like that. So do that. And secondly, excess lumber and construction materials. Mm-hmm. You know, that drives me crazy. Pick it up and take it. I'm not going to start my own company with it. Right? Yeah. I'm not going to become a contractor and use it. So take it with you. You can have it. Yeah. I know I paid for it, but you can have it. All right. We're going to take our first break. We're here with Pat and Jill Gorman from Gorman Law. And we'll be right back.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey Personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more, right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This Sunday, Lake Redding Park will be smoking as those crazy yellow-shirted asphalt cowboys fire up the barbecues for their annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue Fundraiser. Partake of the finest fire-grilled tri-tip or chicken, salad, cowboy beans, garlic bread, and a beverage. Eat it there or use the convenient drive-thru. Place a bid at the annual live auction between 1 and 3 p.m. Tickets are $12 at the event or pre-purchase for $10 from any Asphalt Cowboy, Pate Mart's at Redding and Anderson, or Lulu's Restaurant on Pine Street at Cypress Avenue. Lulu's serves great food and drinks at affordable prices 7 days a week. Soup, salad, sandwiches, steak, seafood, and Italian dishes. Everything is made fresh daily at Lulu's. And you can order prime rib any time of the day, plus the very best Bloody Mary in town. Catering and banquet facilities are also available with customized menus to fit your budget. Join us this Sunday at Lake Redding Park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Leidy in for Carl Bott. And I'm here with Pat and Jill Gorman from Gorman Law in Palo Cedro. Good, good friends of mine. Nathan, is it going to be hot today?
Oh, it's always going to be hot. It's Reading.
Not always.
Not always. No.
Please.
Tonight it's going to be nice. But today we're going to have widespread haze before noon, then widespread haze after 3. Sunny and hot with a high near 109 tonight with areas of smoke between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. Mostly clear with a low around 72. Saturday, sunny and hot with a high near 99. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 68. Sunday, partly cloudy with a high near 93. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 69. And Monday is going to be mostly sunny with a high near 94.
94. And then by Thursday, 86.
Yeah.
Hey, it's coming, people.
Yeah, turn it down.
It's coming, people. I'm feeling good about it. I just my attitude gets better.
I feel like this has been probably the mildest summer. We moved up here at the end of 2014, so 2015 to now, 7 years, I think this has been the mildest summer. I mean, it's been hot a few days, but many fewer days than we ever remember. It usually cranks up above 100 in June, you know, Memorial Day, June, and it stays up there for 2-3 months.
It started late.
Yeah.
Started late, because I remember thinking in June, this isn't so bad.
Oh, yeah. We've been waiting for it, and I mean, I don't want to jinx anything, but, you know, the smoke in the air hasn't been what it's been every single year for the last 7 years. But I mean, right now there is one, but it hasn't been nearly as bad either, and hopefully that holds true. But, it's been a pretty, pretty chill summer, and everybody from out of the area that I know calls me. They're like, oh, my God, is it super hot and rainy? I'm like, actually, it's not as bad as it usually is.
It was 112 yesterday.
Well, yeah.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah, it was 116 a couple days ago. That was right. Yeah, I mean, that's unbearable. That's like Death Valley hot.
It is like Death Valley hot. I think, well, it's one reason why we don't have traffic. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
I truly believe that if we had good weather, we'd be wall-to-wall in this place.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Think about it. Lake Shasta, Mount Shasta Ski Resort. We're 5 hours from Bend and 5 hours from the Bay Area, which is really cool. We can be at the ocean in 2.5 hours. We can be at the top of the Sierras in 2.5 hours. Yeah. I mean, it's just the location is fantastic. It's just hotter than Hades in the summer.
But that's what everybody in the Bay Area and LA Basin and San Diego says. The first thing they say is the weather.
Oh, sure. Right? It's the weather.
It's the weather.
I love the weather in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm one of them weird people that love the dark, foggy, cool day, you know, where the sun never comes out. That's my day right there.
So I worked in the city for years, and I, you know, lived in Walnut Creek, and so, you know, there's a huge temperature differential, and I just, so many times in, like, June, July, I'm wearing a sweater, and then we get into Orinda, and the doors open in the bar platform on the train, and it's like an oven just piping into the train.
Yeah.
And, the temperature difference is like 60 degrees in June or July.
One little band of hills right there. Yeah. What do they call that band of hills? You live there.
Caldecott, maybe?
No, I think they're the Oakland Hills. I don't know. What
Oakland Hills, yeah. I think it is the Oakland Hills. Yeah,
yeah, I don't know if there's like
the tunnel. The tunnel that goes to the Oakland Hills is Caldecott.
I'm sure there's a name like Joaquin Moraga or something like that for the hills, right? Something named after one of the ranchos that was there, you know, in the 1800s.
Right.
California was a state. But it's, I don't know the technical name. But yeah, the Oakland Hills and, yeah.
Yeah, there is a huge difference.
Yeah.
Huge. Mm-hmm. But I love that weather.
Yeah.
I love it. My wife doesn't. Too cold for her, but I love it.
It's pretty cold in July.
It's cold. Yeah. And I grew up there, and I could never swim in the summer. So.
Oh, no, yeah. There's not swimming weather.
No. When we had a pool that never got used, so.
Really?
Yeah. It was too cold.
Yeah, true.
There aren't many pools. I mean, if you fly over the Bay Area to land at an airport, it's not totally different than flying over any Southern California, area, right? Mm-hmm. You look down out of the window and
pool,
mainland
pool.
Empire. Oh, every place has a pool, and up in, Bay Area, not so much. So,
you guys have a pool?
Mm-hmm. We do. Oh, I think it is a must in Shasta County.
I think we're going to end up with a pool.
Yeah.
We don't have one now. We went and got a bit of one, but our house is, sits on the bluff above Sundial Bridge, and so we don't have any place to put a pool. To put a pool in, they have to put in a retaining wall and then make a special engineering key, they called it, to go down to the earth so far to hold the pool.
That sounds expensive.
That sounds about $200,000, yeah.
Yeah, no, not quite 200, but half that.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. For just the retaining wall or for the
pool? For the pool, the retaining wall. Yeah, for the pool and everything. So
that's the Ted Lighty discount.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so. But I think we'll probably end up with it. We just got to pay off this bathroom model first.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
Well, getting in the pool, it just brings your temperature down instantly.
Yeah.
There's no other way to cool off like that.
Oh man. Yeah. I just love. You can work outside and then go hop in a pool and feel good and lay there for a while and take a nap. Yeah, pools are great. So we were talking about the heat here, and I think what happens is these people go on these vacations through Redding, right, and they stop at, let's just say they pull off on Cypress, and they stop at is it a 76 station right there?
Yeah, I'm trying to picture it. You're talking about right on Cypress and Hilltop.
Yeah.
The freeway there.
Yeah.
God, I can't remember. I don't think it is a 76 anymore.
Maybe?
I don't remember. It's
a gas station.
Yeah.
Let's just say it's August. The man gets out. He stretches, right? Got the kids in the back. They've been air conditioning all the way up here. And he looks at the mountains and knows he's 10 miles from the lake and thinks about all the shooting he can do and all the running he can do and his mountain biking. And he says, dang, I would love to live here. And the wife gets out. Her hair falls straight down. Her makeup starts running. It's sweating. She's uncomfortable, right? And she says, get back in the car there, honcho.
Fremont, not with us.
We're moving on.
Yeah.
That's how we stay,
Yeah.
100K or 187K in this county or whatever it is we have. And that's enjoyable for me. I don't like traffic.
I think most people prefer it that way. I don't think anybody wants, I don't know about anybody. I think most people, the overwhelming majority of people in Shasta County don't want this to be a county of a million.
Right? No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I mean, we have enough big city problems as it is.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, with our homeless population, our unsheltered population, whatever you want to call them, and, the drugs and all that kind of stuff that you see in big cities, it's here now. And we're not even a big city. What, 110K?
Yeah.
Something like that, 130K?
I mean, what I observe is that, a lot of people have these theories about dumping and busing and stuff, but, if you think about it, Shasta County is a magnet for all the mountain communities surrounding it.
Absolutely.
And I think of most of the folks that wind up unhoused and addicted to drugs, screaming at traffic as it drives by, I think a lot of them burn out every couch and bridge they have in, Trinity County and up in Siskiyou County or Lassen County, and then wind up down here because it's the only place where there's services for them.
Right. I see that.
They'll freeze to death in Alturas or Susanville. Right, so Susanville, like maybe some of them go to Reno, but the surrounding mountain communities, a lot of folks wind up here after they burn every bridge they have.
And all the services are here, like you said, and it's right here. They can head downtown and, go to whatever office they need to go to make sure the services are in place and all that. So I totally understand that. But you said something really important, and, it keeps me, we have to remember this. We can't paint the unsheltered with a broad brush.
No. I mean,
they're just people socially. Yeah. They're just, everyone's got their own story, right?
Absolutely.
And so I have an idea. I think it's probably less than 10%, but maybe it's even less than 5%. I don't know. People who really would take the help and get out if they could.
Not
the rest
maybe.
Of it are mentally.
I think most of them don't want to have that structure of being housed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You self-impose a structure, but you have to work. You have to pay bills. You have to follow the law. You wind up in a cage, right? I mean, you have to do all of these things. You have to pay bills on time. You have to make sure your lights don't get turned off. There's a lot of responsibility. And I think it can be overwhelming for folks for a variety of reasons, right? Like you said, everybody has a story. So I think most folks that are in that situation, they want money so they can eat or,
And the state gives them money.
But they don't want the structure that comes with housing and things like that. I think that a lot of them, it may not be a direct line. It's not like one day they say, hey, I want to be under a bridge, right? But there's several choices in between then and being housed that are made. And so, no, I agree. I think a lot of them, if there are strings attached to any of the help, they don't want it.
Yeah. I think it was Vince Lombardi, that great football coach, that said, winning is a habit, and unfortunately, so is losing.
Yeah.
And so you get into that rut, and there you are, man.
And if that's all you've seen your whole life, right? So let's say you grow up in an environment where everybody you know
mm-hmm.
is, you know, never done anything successful with their life, right? I mean, how do you mimic the pathway to moving out of that situation if you've never seen it happen? Does it even exist to you? Is it even a concept, right? So how do you create that perception or that concept in somebody's mind who's never seen it happen before?
That's why I love service.
Yeah.
Because you can take anybody and put them in the service, and if they have the right mindset, they can look above them and see the sergeants and the lieutenants and the generals and everyone else who are living in nice homes and have college degrees and get up every day and hit the ground running, and you think, I can do that.
Well, they truly, I mean,
I can do that.
When I joined, you know, Ted, I'm sure you have tons of stories like this, you know, GED in and
out
of Juvenile Hall.
Yep.
Joined with I got a good enough ASVAB score to get in, and all they offered me was 11 Bravo. No airborne contract, no Ranger school, nothing. Just straight 11 Bravo, 3 years. That's what you get. You don't want it, walk out the door.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Marines wouldn't take me because I had a GED. So that was my only way into the service. I was lucky they took me. And, you know, I was fortunate I had a Ranger recruiter out of Reno, which is awesome. And he didn't BS me. He was like, yeah, it's going to suck. And this is just going to be fun. It's going to suck. And, yeah, I mean, within 2 weeks of being at Benning, you know, and they show you, like, you literally can do anything you want to do.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're not going to do it, if you're not going to give 100% to it, then don't waste their time. They would always say, if you're not going to give 100%, don't waste my time.
Yep.
And it just instilled that self-discipline, that self-pride in what you do.
Yep.
And not, you know, not to disrespect yourself by half-assing anything. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, now I'm a lawyer, and it has everything to do with me being
a lawyer. Did the Army help pay for that at all?
No, that was me.
Oh, right on. Yeah. No. Man alive.
Yeah, this is pre 9/11. The GI Bill wasn't what it is now back then.
They had a little one though.
It was $12,000. Yeah.
Yeah. Dang. Well, that doesn't go.
And hard to access.
That doesn't even get you in the door,
no,
does it?
No.
Oh, I get it. All right. Well, Free Fire Radio here with Pat Joe Gorman. We are going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
For years, the Redding Rancheria has given back to our community. Friday, September 9th marks the 20th anniversary of the Redding Rancheria Community Fund. Since its inception, the fund has granted approximately $3.8 million in support of our community. This year, we will be celebrating 66 organizations that we've been able to help with an evening surprise gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund, helping us to continue the cycle of giving. The 20th anniversary Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner is brought to you by this station and proud sponsors.
Gold Lake Nursery is open. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? They have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from. And right now, they're on sale. And they are drought tolerant. It's a great time to buy. Gold Lake Nursery carries a large selection of water-wise shrubs and trees. Gold Lake Nursery and Landscaping since 1975. Open Wednesday through Saturday. Come in now to pick out your favorite color of crepe myrtle. Gold Lake Nursery, located on Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Friday. Everybody's in a good mood. I'm sitting here with my good friends, Pat and Jill Gorman, attorney at law, and his boss out of Palo Cedro. They got a new office going on right next to True Value in Palo Cedro, so I'm pumped to get by there. You know, I drive right by there when I hunt. I always go east, so these days I'm going to stop by and check it out. I'm excited about it.
You live at the range. It's not far from there, too.
The range is not far from there, and I just about live there, yes, so... Yeah, not far from there. So we were talking about, on break, we were talking about your Army career. What year did you join the Army?
Joined in 97, got out in 2000, had a baby, who was almost a year old, right around 9/11. And I remember, I worked on the stock exchange when that happened, the Pacific Stock Exchange. So I was watching it actually happen live.
Wow.
I had some friends and bosses that were like actually there when it all happened. And, so I called the recruiter, you know, a few days after that, and my wife said, my wife at the time, not my perfect wife, my prior wife at the time said, well, we're not going to be here for you. We're not going to, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, Nate. Yeah, but, my prior wife at the time said, you know, you do that and, you know, we're not going to be here for you. So I had to choose, and obviously you put your kid first.
Of course.
Yeah. So, but that was, it was really close to home because just the timing. And then I was still, you know, active Ready Reserve, so I wasn't sure if they were stop loss and calling people. They never called. I'm sure they called up, you know, water purification experts and stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They didn't call up the 11Bs, but, yeah, so didn't go, you know.
Then my brother was an 11B, and he got out in about 90 or 91, and they called him up for Desert Storm.
Okay.
Yeah, they brought him out. He was here in Redding, in Cottonwood, you know, doing his young trooper thing, drawing his GI Bill or whatever he was doing, and they called him up, and he went, and they issued him uniforms, and he sat in Germany. He never made it over to Southwest Asia, but he sat there.
There's, you know, I had a lot of, you know, platoon sergeant, you know, team leader, squad leaders, you know, either jumped into Panama or went to Iraq, yep. Right? It was, mm-hmm. you know, it was, during that period of time, it was such a lull in any kind of,
oh, right.
unless you were in like this, you know, some kind of special operations attachment, you know, Ranger Battalion, something like that, you weren't really getting hot unless,
right.
you know, unless you're doing a live fire and someone on your own side will shoot you, right?
Yep.
That's the closest I ever got. But, yeah, no, when they went over to Iraq, I mean, that's the last time they shipped them over on old boats. That they took out of the mothball fleets and just loaded up ships like it was World War II and sent these guys across the ocean, you know, landed in Kuwait. And then when they came back on ships, came into New York.
Yep.
And, yeah, there's all kinds of cool stories. That's the last time that'll ever happen in forever, right? We're never going to load up ships full of troops that we pull out of mothball or anything like that. I don't even think the mothball fleet's really there anymore.
No, because we've been busy.
Yeah.
We've been busy since, you know, since we came back from the Gulf War. It's been one thing after the next.
Yeah.
You know, since then, everybody's been deployed. Everybody's got combat time. Everybody, you know, gets something now. But like you said, you know, in the 80s, there was not much going on.
No,
much really going on. We got,
a lot of games.
I mean, no disrespect to those who were in, you know, Special Operations Unit or, you know, the bombing at Beirut or Grenada or, you know, something else.
Yeah.
Operation Golden Pheasant in Honduras, all those kind of operations. But, you know, generally speaking, on a large scale, you see somebody, once the Vietnam vets got out, you see somebody in the combat patch. It was something.
Deal. Yeah. Or, somebody got a CIB or CIB? Combat patch. You're like, man, that guy's been in for 13 years.
Where'd you get that?
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing here?
But, so we have a son now who's Army. He's an Apache mechanic.
And
oh, that's a good job.
And everybody's got a combat patch for him, right? So
oh,
he's
sure.
Got, like, patch envy. So he went to Europe for a deployment. He's like, oh, we're not going to get combat patches. I'm like, you're not in combat, man. Like, it's different.
He's got a great job, though.
I agree.
Patchy mechanic.
When he complains about it, especially when he's in, like, Germany, and he's complaining about fixing it. He doesn't complain about his – he loves his job. He just doesn't like the Army, right? He doesn't like the – you know, working 12 hours some days. You know, things like that for him. But that's how you become a man. That's how you mature, right?
Builds character, man. Get after it.
Yeah, so aside from that, you know, he does like it. But, yeah, he's complaining about being in Europe. We're like, look, you don't get to complain if somebody's paying you to be in Europe. Like, you're getting paid to be
in
Germany.
Where's he at in Germany?
Well, he's not there anymore. He's at Kansas. He's at Fort Riley.
Fort Riley.
He wants to go to a bunch of different countries in Europe.
He went to, like, Estonia and all kinds of places.
Oh, sure.
And he calls it
the best place in the world,
nightmare
man.
Of a trip.
Yeah, nightmare of a trip. It's like, dude, you're in Europe.
You are so
I mean, there was some COVID restrictions. I get that part of it, but he still got off base. But they were primarily in, like, Poland and, you know, places like that, Eastern Europe. But
so what?
Yeah.
Fantastic. I learned how to ski in the Swiss Alps. Who gets that?
That's
you know?
Cool.
20 years from now, he's going to talk to his kids like it was the best time of his life, right? But he's complaining about it now.
He's well, he's young.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a certain amount of missing home that goes on there still.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And his friends.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, he had a long AIT for the Army.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, my other son's in the Navy. He was in AIT for like ever, right? For like a year in A school and like another 6 months in C school or whatever. So, I mean, they're in it forever. But in the Army, if you have a 27-week AIT, like that's forever.
That's a long one.
Yeah, so that, you know, I mean, he had a long, he was, you know, basic training, AIT, and then straight to Europe within 3 weeks, right?
I think that as they age, now he'll probably get out. Sounds like he's going to do one tour and get out.
I think he's alive or dead.
Oh, you think
he complains way too much to get out. No, he's one of those. Yeah, he's going to be in. And well, I mean, when he gets out, he's going to work on, you know, these little like utility helicopters for PG&E or something. I mean, maybe, but it's different. He likes being in Kansas. He likes having a loud car and guns. He can't move back to California and have that.
All right. Yeah. True. True. We live under a different set of laws here.
Yeah.
In a chat room, I got Philip who said he was commenting on what we were talking about. He said, not sure what big city problems you're talking about. Homelessness is everywhere.
I agree.
And drugs are everywhere. We don't have traffic or gangs. We don't have noise pollution. So I'm talking about big city problems that we do have, Philip. So thanks for bringing up what we don't have. I like that. No gangs, no noise pollution. And what else? Traffic, we forgot about gangs and noise pollution. But, Philip, I got news for you. In other parts of the country, they don't have the problems we have in California.
No.
Okay? Don't fool yourself. Go visit, boys, go visit a city that is 100,000 deep, in, say, Georgia or, Iowa or someplace like that. They don't have the problems that we have here in California. We have a special judiciary. You know that.
Yeah.
In California. And, you know, you get these appointed judges, you know, ask Chico. You know, Chico has been fighting an absolute lawsuit that they lost years ago. Now they're building homeless ghettos for the homeless, right? Platform city. What do they call them? Pallet cities? Pallet homes?
Are they pallet homes or are they made out of the containers?
And they got a whole community full of them.
Yeah.
Okay? They got because they have to. That's the law. That's how it worked out. So, we have big city problems here because of lawsuits that Chico lost. And, of course, it was ruled on by, I think it went all the way to the California Supreme Court. We didn't have these big city problems, Philip. I don't recall. Maybe you're very young. I don't know how old you are. But I grew up here, right? Trust me, we didn't have dudes laying around with needles sticking out of their arms publicly. We didn't have people taking a break at Taco Bell while another dude walked up, asked him for money, then killed him. We didn't have those things growing up. So if you're telling me it's the evolution of society, well, I don't buy that, and I don't think that's normal. So please don't talk us into making it be normal. It's not normal. You sound like my wife. She says that all the time. Oh, it's like this everywhere. No, it's not.
Just in California.
I got news for you. California's its own gig. So
I came up
how
here
about that?
When I was 18, right before I joined the Army, I came up here to go on a houseboat, my friends and family. And we snuck away for a day. And this was in 97, probably early June 97. Me and my buddies tried to find somebody to buy us beer in Redding for 3 hours. We couldn't find a single homeless person to shoulder tap.
Oh, sure.
So it's definitely different.
Now, that's quite a story, Pat. Yeah, that's quite a story.
I mean, it's just a gauge, right?
That's a bummer.
Never had those problems anywhere else in California, but in Shasta County, nobody was around to buy us beer.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
This Sunday, Lake Redding Park will be smoking as those crazy yellow-shirted Asphalt Cowboys fire up the barbecues for their annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue Fundraiser. Partake of the finest fire-grilled tri-tip or chicken, salad, cowboy beans, garlic bread, and a beverage. Eat it there or use the convenient drive-thru. Place a bid at the annual live auction between 1 and 3 p.m. Tickets are $12 at the event or pre-purchase for $10 from any Asphalt Cowboy. Paid Mart's at Redding and Anderson, or Lulu's restaurant on Pine Street at Cypress Avenue. Lulu's serves great food and drinks at affordable prices 7 days a week. Soup, salad, sandwiches, steak, seafood, and Italian dishes. Everything is made fresh daily at Lulu's. And you can order prime rib any time of the day, plus the very best Bloody Mary in town. Catering and banquet facilities are also available with customized menus to fit your budget. Join us this Sunday at Lake Redding Park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Redding has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Back, Free Fire Radio. We went to break a little bit early there because Nathan was trying to tell me we had a caller on Daniel. Is he still there?
Yes, he is.
Right on. Daniel, good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio.
Well, thank you.
What's going on today?
Oh, this is Daniel. You know, I'm retired Coast Guard.
Oh, right on.
I was just getting a kick out of your discussion about complaining about this and that and all the other things that, you know, that the young folks do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Uncle Sam's been sending me a check now longer than when I was on active duty, so I can't really complain too much.
No, huh? You're done complaining. I love that. I love that. Hey, Daniel, I ran into something I wrote when I was in my 20s. I was applying for a position in the Army, right? One of these special operator positions. And I didn't get selected, just to close the story down. But I wrote, part of my spiel was how much I hated my lieutenant. I was complaining about him. So,
I get that. You know, I had some GOs that I wasn't real happy with either.
Yeah.
But, you know, by the time I made 88, that didn't matter much, did it?
No, didn't matter at all. In fact, you were the one they were complaining about. How about that?
They
were writing letters about you. Yep. It's funny how the worm turns, man. I can tell you that right now.
Once you hit that E7 threshold, right?
Once you become an E7, you start to turn back and look back and say, man, I was that dude. I was that complainer one time.
But I guess the main reason I called, here we are. We've been all volunteers since, 86, 87, somewhere in there. And there's no reason to complain. You signed up for it willingly, and you knew it was going to be a fun adventure. Not always fun, but generally speaking. You know, they sent me to Alaska and Oregon and Washington and forced me to go hunting and fishing. Put me on an icebreaker, made me go to the top and bottom of the world and stop on the beaches in the South Pacific Islands and look at the pretty girls. I mean, that job sucked.
Yeah, what is there to complain about, really? But you're going to find something to complain about, right?
When
that's
you're
just
in
how
it
is.
Yeah,
yeah,
when you're in it, but it's fondness after. I mean, when you're cold, wet, and hungry, you can find something to complain about. And
I think you forget that, though.
You know, I had a good
NCO, you forget it.
I had a good squad leader, and he said, hey, complaining is contagious. It's like a cancer. If you do it, I'm shutting you down.
Yeah.
It's like, it's going to get cold. If you do it, I'm going to shut you down.
Yep.
And so nobody did.
Yep.
And the biggest part of that is it spreads out to the other troops who weren't starting out, so that's why you shut it down.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that. And that's in any organization.
Yeah.
You know? That's in any organization. Yeah. I used to call it the haves and have-nots, right? When the haves outnumber the have-nots, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
But when the have-nots start outnumbering your haves, then you got a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you need to shut them down and move them on.
Look at where your leadership's going if you got more of the have-nots than the haves.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. Oh, yeah. Well, that's on you, too. On you also.
Absolutely true.
You know.
What's my style? What am I doing wrong?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because you see a lot of leaders who were great troopers, but then they get to that certain point in their career and they just can't affect anymore, you know? They start having these have-nots underneath them, and then you got problems.
Do you gentlemen think that this is a burnout thing, or do you think that just something with their personality doesn't allow them to be effective leaders?
I think it's a personality thing, because I don't think burnout. I think burnout's a real thing, obviously, but I think that's separate.
Okay.
I think even your great leaders get burned out. I think your expert leaders get burned out.
Sometimes it's just pure politics. You're watching what's going on from the commander in chief on down through the. You know, the Pentagon or, you know, the Commandant and the Coast Guard, that kind of stuff. And, you know, that certainly is going to have a little piece of the pie, so you either choose to let it affect you or not.
Yeah, true. Very, very true. I agree with that. You know, politics are a big part of every organization, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Right? And, of course, in the services, we never really worried about politics. Like, we all talk politics now. We never worried about that. When we got to the upper ranks, we never worried about politics. It just wasn't our business.
Yeah.
We didn't really care. It just wasn't our business. We voted how we wanted to vote, and we moved on smartly, and we saluted the flag and, you know, did the North-South.
I think it was more of there were policy things that would come down, and if it was something that the leadership knew was going to be a hard pill to swallow, they prefaced everything like, hey, this is a policy decision, you know?
Right.
And they were understanding, in my experience. I was only in for 3 years, but nobody was... I don't know if the military is really politically charged now, different than it was when I have two boys serving right now, and neither one has said that. So, yeah, I think it's more of a policy thing. And good leaders always prefaced everything like, yeah, we know this sucks, but this is where it's coming from,
yeah.
So we have to do it. Let's get it done and get it over with and move on.
Yep.
Here's how we're going to make it more palatable.
Stand tall, do the job.
Yep.
Salute the flag and take a full 30-inch step. I like it. All right, Daniel. Well, listen, thanks for calling in, Jay.
All right, guys.
I want you to have a great weekend, okay? I appreciate your service.
Thank you.
All right. So Yeah, that was good. That was a good phone call.
Yeah.
So Philip made a pretty good point again in the chat room. He said Nashville has a problem, and of course they do. But, you know, let's just – I agree with Philip on a certain level. You know, I wasn't complaining. I'm just telling you that we do have issues somewhat, you know. And so Philip is right to loop me in a little bit. But I refuse for it to be normal.
If you accept that it's better than other places have it, I think once you start accepting that, like, yeah, this is wrong, but it's better than other places, that is a slippery slope. That's a mentality of defeat, right? That you're throwing in the towel.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't throw in the towel. I mean, there's a solution for everything.
Yeah, somebody's always going to have it worse than you.
There's a solution.
I mean, whoever doesn't, there's one person on this planet that doesn't have it worse than any, or that doesn't have somebody who has it worse than them. If there's one person that exists, I feel so sorry for that person.
Right.
Because there's always somebody who has worse circumstances for whatever reason. 100%. So I don't think that's ever a justification for, and I'm not saying that's what Philip's saying at all. I'm just, I feel that once you get in the mentality of, well, you know, it's worse here or it's worse there.
Right.
It's almost excusing the solution to what's going on.
Well, obviously some people are not happy with it, because I had, the captain from the RPD here day before yesterday, Cole, and fantastic community warrior. And we talked about it, you know. And the RPD, the Reading Police Department, is really making changes. They are actively recruiting. They've brought on, I think he said, 40 new officers or something crazy like that. Yeah. Within the past 2 years, they are activating a park ranger position, 4 park ranger positions to get off in these areas that are green belts, you know, like, you know, where the river trail and that is. They've got the community service officer program, and that is really making a difference. I told him I can feel a difference just between now and maybe 3 years ago. I see a difference on the streets.
Can I start a fire before I walk out of the
room? Go ahead, start it. I like
fires. How many of these officers' positions is funded by the legalization of commercial cannabis and the taxation from it?
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, many of them.
So, I mean, people are, you know, think that's the ill of all society. But, I don't know, 40 new officers, park rangers, you know, the ability to check who's on the streets and make sure they don't have active warrants, that there's no registered sex offenders sitting outside of the school. I mean, we need more boots on the ground to address the problem. Even if we can't incarcerate, you know, we can still make sure anybody at some point they have warrants. At some point they will be incarcerated.
Well, contact is the key.
Yeah,
contacting
absolutely.
Is the key. Yeah. Talking to people is the key. Finding out who's what and who's where and what are you doing and where's your ID, that's the key.
Yeah, but if you have 9 officers at any given time working, you can't. You're running from call to call. You're running from crime scene to crime scene. You can't make contact. You can't encounter people.
No.
You prioritize
reactive.
The worst.
Just reacting all day. Absolutely. And I told it. We talked about being reactive.
Yeah.
You know, if all you do is react all day, you're not strategy. You don't have a strategy. You're just doing what this community is causing you to do. And of course, frankly, that's an easier job than putting together a strategy and going and doing it every day. It's easier to do that, just to show up and go from place to place.
Yeah, it's way more exciting.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, would you call it the something of all evil? Cannabis?
Oh, yeah, the cause of all evil. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not it. Cannabis is nothing more than, I mean, you know, we all have our poison, right?
Yeah, the community, when that was going on.
I love bourbon.
I mean, I sat in the city council meetings. There were a lot of people that were outraged by just the notion.
I get it.
You know, sometimes you have to make a decision where it's not the best. You can't just solve every problem with the wag of a finger, right? You have to make difficult decisions. And I'm not saying it was the right one or wrong one, but if they were able to hire 40 officers, and those 40 officers are effective and able to bring down the crime rate, regardless of whatever the sentencing laws are, then maybe it was worth it.
Yeah. I totally agree. I don't have any problem with cannabis. I don't care. Except for, you know, my ex-wife did open a cannabis store.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's rich.
Yeah.
I'm still gutting it out on Sundays in 110 degree heat.
Good for her.
You know, she's living the dream.
Are you getting spousal support?
No, I wish.
In the Maldives right now, just chilling at the beach.
Yeah, she did it all afterwards, after we were divorced. But, I have zero problems with it. You know, the problem is, the root of the problem is accountability.
Yeah.
Right? I don't care what you do in your own time, but you need to be doing something accountable. I used to say, it's either a pencil or a hammer. You're either going to be in school or you're going to be working somewhere.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. Or retired.
Yeah.
Right? You retire. I get it. You work hard your whole life. You retire. But the bottom line is, if you allow free cannabis use publicly, free heroin use publicly, you do whatever you want to do, you must also make them accountable.
I agree.
To that And I know, oh, they're addicted. I get it. I understand. I don't want to get in an argument with anybody about them being addicted. Cause you know, I'm addicted to french fries. I love french fries. So, whatever. We all have our poison, right? But you have to be accountable. No matter how addicted I am to french fries, I still gotta fit in my pants. That's the idea, right? So, you can't feed them. You can't give them just enough to keep them on the street. You either have to take it away so they move or give them double.
Yeah.
So they can live in a house.
Yeah, give them enough where they'll take the strings attached, right? Maybe that's the issue. Right?
It's either way.
It's not enough for them to say, yeah, I'll do that for that. That's not
no,
enough.
No, they need the money for the party. Yeah. They got a party, so they take that money. And please don't tell me, and don't call in and tell me they don't have any money. Because if they didn't have any money, they wouldn't be on the street, people.
No, that's controversial if a pitch to solving homelessness is give them twice as much. Right. Did we just start a couple of fires? Or people
give them double. I'd vote for it. We're wasting so much money in this state anyway.
Why stop there? Yeah. Give them like double. Quadruple.
Give them double.
Oh, we just made about half of Shasta County mad today.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. Or take it away. If you take it away. You get the same thing if you take it away.
Yeah.
They'll move. But one thing's for sure. You put a man in a corner, give him a Big Mac and a Diet Coke a day, he'll stay there the rest of his life. You take it away, he will figure out how to get that Big Mac. That's not rocket science, people.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science.
No.
Pat, Jill.
Oh, Ted, I love being with you, man.
We need to have our own show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
You know what we should do? Have Man Up next week. You want to come to Man Up?
Yeah.
The radio show,
yeah,
6
Carl,
to 7?
Talk to me. Oh, hang on, what day is it?
It's Thursday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
Let's do
but
it.
But I'm not a man, so you can.
Yeah, oh, no. It's ladies, too. We just call it Man Up. Oh, it's for ladies, too.
Okay.
All right. Hey, listen. You guys have a great weekend. You're coming to Man Up. You can come to Man Up, too. It'll be great. We drink a little bourbon. We talk. It's the good guys against the bad. Which ones are you? Free Fire Radio. Have a great weekend.